And then I see Gerald Foster is on, Jen Hilgren is on, and I want to say thank you for tuning in, and we miss you, and we're hoping that soon, rather sooner than later, then we can all get back together to our regular schedule. So with that being said, let me go over a few announcements with you. There's really not a whole lot to be said so far with announcements, other than we will, since this past Sunday was Resurrection Sunday, we're going to get back to our regular schedule of Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, this upcoming Sunday. And we will continue that throughout the rest of the month of April. We will not be gathering here for worship. We will just be simply doing everything online. And I want to thank Pastor Ken Andrews for working so hard to get everything up and running. And then also with Mike Autry that comes in and does the sound. So I want to thank all of them. And then hopefully on May 3rd, we will get back to our regular schedule, and that will be with our church picnic after the Sunday morning service here on the grounds at Lighthouse Baptist, the no p.m. service. And then on the 9th, we're going to have our annual Mother's Day breakfast at 9 o'clock on that Saturday, where the men come in and serve all the mothers. And then Mother's Day on the 10th. And then we'll have our last night of Awana. Our Awana Awards will be on the 13th. And then the 24th is our Memorial Day Sunday with communion and our benevolent offering giving on the last Sunday of May. So with that being said, if you have your prayer sheet with you, I was able to send that out to everyone this morning with your email, reminding everyone about the service. Let me go over a few little things here with you in regard to our prayer sheet this week. And I do have some sad news to give you. And Karen Prince, that is our former member, Sharon Hemingway, that is her twin sister, received word from a previous CAT scan that was performed. Did receive some very tragic news, and that is that the cancer is terminal, and she has now been placed on hospice care. So I don't think I need to go any further with that of explaining what goes with that, but evidently the doctors are saying now that there's just nothing more that can be done, no more chemo, no more treatments or anything of that nature. So pray for Karen and her husband, and then also, if you will, pray for Sharon Hemingway and Mike and for Ashley. So if you will, do indeed pray for them. And then we have one addition to our cancer part of our prayer sheet, and that is Andrea Vogt, and that is a lady that I worked with at Berean for a period of time when I was on staff there, and she ran the bookstore, and had not heard from her in a while since I had left there. But she was diagnosed with breast cancer back in December and kind of kept it private. But as of lately, she has made it public, and so she is on our prayer sheet tonight as well. And then I want to give you an update tonight on Vivian Barefoot. That is Sonia Autry and Audrey Hill. That is their mother. Initially, they thought they were going to do double bypass, but when they got in there yesterday to do the bypass surgery, they found that she actually needed triple bypass. So they performed that surgery yesterday, and she is in ICU recovering. And so that we do praise the Lord for that, but continue to pray for recovery. And then continue to pray for Raymond Gomez, that tested positive for the COVID-19. He is their uncle of our attenders, Josue and Marilini. That is their uncle. And last I had heard, he was not doing very well at all. So we need to pray, continue to pray for him. And then there is a man by the name of Bill. He is a friend of Mike and Sonia Autry's. that is in need of a heart transplant. So let's continue to pray for him. So let me kind of go over with you everything that is on our prayer sheet this week. So continue to pray for our ministry needs. Continue to pray for spiritual, numerical, financial growth. Even though we're not meeting here as a body of believers, continue to pray for one another and continue to pray for the ministry and continue to pray that our ministry here will continue to grow, and that our Facebook and our sermon audio feeds will be viewed by many, and will help people to grow in their walk with the Lord. And our theme for this year, once again, is together we strive, and standing fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So I have it broken down of how you can pray for the ministry each and every day. Pray for your leadership. Pray for your pastor. Pray for Pastor Ken, our elder. And then pray for our deacon, Chris Massia. Pray for those in other leadership positions. Pray for Aaron Rosenberg, who is our treasurer. And then Joyce Ramos, who is our financial secretary. But Kim Bozeman has stepped in tremendously over the last 3 or 4 months while Joyce was recovering from her surgery and then was on vacation. And Kim has just stepped in and done a tremendous job. And then Tom is our Awana director. And then we also have Angela Cross, who is our nursery director, and David Bozeman, who is our custodian. And so let's continue to pray for all of them, if you will, please. And then pray for Awana, and once we resume back, that everyone will get back into our regular places, our Sunday school teachers, Vacation Bible School coming up here in just a matter of a couple of months, our Blanket Ministries, which because of the COVID-19 has had to suspend. But when everything is lifted, I'm sure they will get back to making blankets for the cancer patients at Cafer Valley Hospital. And then our door-to-door canvassing, and that once we resume, that the Lord will give us a first-time visitor each week. And then that we will have an increase in our membership and in our giving. So pray for your members, if you will. If you have the directory app, bring up that app in the mornings or in the evenings when you have your regular prayer time, and then also when throughout the day when you have a spare moment, just bring it up real quick. Look down, go down the list, and pray over everyone that is there on the directory. Then we have those that are without Christ, so let's continue to pray for them. We have so many that have health needs, those with cancer, those with other health issues, that have surgeries, recovering from surgeries, or have had surgeries. And one thing that we always need to pray for is their family. Pray for their finances, especially during these times right now. We have some people just in our congregation that have been furloughed or been laid off and have had to apply for unemployment. Well, you know as well as I do that when you do apply for unemployment, it does not pay your full salary. It's a reduction in your salary. So let's continue to pray for all of those that are being affected financially and economically, for all of those that's been affected. Then we have our general needs. We have Gerald Foster, who's on the road each and every day. We have our teachers that are in our church, and we need to really pray for our education system as they're trying to make some decisions about what to do for the remainder of this school year. So let's continue to pray for them. The Massia family, as they are working on the process of an adoption. And then continue to pray for those in the COVID-19 task force, government leaders, our president and vice president, those that are on that task force. But also don't forget about the doctors and nurses and all healthcare professionals that are working to help save lives and put an end to this virus. We have our shut-ins. And then our missionary this week is Justin and Rachel Rhodes in London. So let's continue to pray for them. And then our government leaders, let's continue to pray for those in our national government, our Senate, our Congress, our House of Representatives, our Supreme Court, our North Carolina Senate, North Carolina House, our county, the city of Fayetteville, the town of Hope Mills, our law enforcement, fire, rescue, and EMS personnel, our military, and then our missionaries that we do support. So let's continue to pray for them. So with that being said, let's go ahead and go to the Lord together in prayer together, maybe. Our Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord. And Father, we praise you for how holy you are and how great and how powerful you are. Father, as we come before you, we begin with praising, but also now we also confess. We confess the sins that we have committed, but also things that we have omitted. And Father, as you said in your word, that when we know to do good, but we doeth it not, to you it is sin. And Father, please forgive us of how we have sinned against you and how we have sinned against others. Please forgive us. May we confess it as sin, repent, turn from it. Daily repent and believe the gospel. And Father, now as we go into our regular prayer time tonight, Father, we continue to pray for those that are affected by the this virus. It does appear somewhat that in areas of our nation have been hit very hard, that the peak has hit and starting to go on the downward slope. But Father, may we still continue to express caution and help us to be wise. Help us to use discretion. Help us, Father, to use the common sense that you have given us when approaching others and when talking to others and when gathering together as people. Father God, I pray that you would just help us to use that wisdom that you have given us. And Father, we pray for our church needs. Father, I continue to pray for our leadership, as I've already mentioned, those that are on our leadership team. I do pray for them, and I thank you for them. I thank you for their hard work and their dedication that they give not only to the church, but more so that they give to you. And Father, I pray that you would also bless our ministries of Awana and our Sunday school teachers, our Vacation Bible School that will be coming up just in a matter of a couple of months, our blanket ministries, our door-to-door canvassing. And that, Father, when we resume back, that you would bring to us a first-time visitor each and every week, and that, Father, we would see an increase in our membership, but also see an increase in our giving. Father, we continue to pray for spiritual and numerical and financial growth. We pray for salvations. We pray for spiritual growth in our sanctifications. And we pray, Father, that many will follow you in your command to be scripturally baptized by immersion. And Father, we pray for those that are lost. We pray that you would draw them unto yourself. We pray for every member and every attender. We pray, Father, that you would just encourage our hearts and our souls as we have to be apart from one another. But Father, I pray that that we'll be able to resume back soon. And now we're halfway through the month of April. And hopefully and prayerfully, we'll resume back on the first Sunday of May and be able to resume back to our regular time of gathering together as a church family. And Father, we pray for those with health concerns, pray for those with cancer, pray for those that are undergoing chemotherapy and radiation, surgeries, have had surgeries, recovering from surgeries, or preparing for upcoming surgeries. Father, I pray for spiritual, physical healing. I pray for surgeries and treatments, and I pray for their family, pray for their finances. But Father, in particular tonight, we bring up Karen Prince before you. And Father, we know that you are the great physician, the great healer, but we also know that you have given wisdom and guidance to doctors to be able to predict that through the test and different things that they give, that there comes a time when things need to end and to begin to prepare for eternity. And Father, we pray for Karen and we pray for her husband. We pray for Sharon and Mike and Ashley. And Father, I pray that during these days, we thank you, Lord, for her life, and we thank you, Father, of how you have prolonged her life longer than what the doctors had originally predicted. We thank you for that, but it still does not make it any easier on those who are family and those that love her. And we just ask and pray that you'll give grace and peace and strength to that family and to friends. Father, pray for all of these on our prayer sheet each and every week. Some are chronic illnesses. Some are just recovering. We pray for Vivian Barefoot as she recovers from having her bypass surgery. We do pray for her tonight. Pray for her family. We continue to pray for Raymond Gomez, affected by the COVID-19 virus. I pray for our member, Anthony Crime, who lost a very dear friend and spiritual mentor yesterday to the virus, lived in New York. And Father, we pray for Anthony as he is going through this time of grieving. We do pray for him. And Father, we pray for those with general needs, those that travel, those that have family issues, this remainder of this school year, the Massias, and those on the COVID-19 task force, beginning with our president, or the vice president, and those doctors and scientists and members of the military and other branches of government. We pray that you would give them the knowledge and wisdom and strength. Pray for those doctors and nurses and all healthcare professionals that are working with those patients that have this virus. Pray for our shut-ins. Pray for Justin and Rachel Rhodes. Pray for our government leaders. Pray for our military, especially those who deployed. And we pray, Father, for our missionaries. And Father God, I pray now that as we get into this new study tonight of looking at the book of Galatians and how we examine the theme of faith to freedom. We pray, Father, that you would use this 13-week study to give us a greater appreciation of the freedom that you have given us in Christ, but also, Father, of how we need to be a protector of the gospel. Help us, Lord. I believe we all know this, but help us to appreciate that salvation by grace is what makes up the heart of the gospel. And Father, how we will appreciate it and defend it and share the gospel with conviction of knowing what the gospel is. And I pray as we begin it tonight, we dedicate it to you. And Father, we pray as even though we're distant from one another, we're still able to pray together. And Father, I pray that as we pray together now, I pray that, and we get into this study, I pray, Father, that it would be a great study and a great look at this wonderful book of the book of Galatians. And all these things we ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so take your Bibles, if you will, and let's go to Galatians chapter 1. I do see some names popping up that are watching, and I want to thank all of you. I see Gerald and Chris saying hello to everyone. I see Jamie Massey. I think I saw Chris Massey on there. I see Roger Gafkin. So thank you, Roger, for tuning in. Hope this is a blessing to you, and how they're not able to meet down at Stony Point. But I do thank you for watching. Hope it's a blessing. I see Angela Cross on there. And then I see Diana Andrews on there, so thank you for tuning in. So, Pastor Ken, your wife is watching. I think you can rest assured now that that Diana and Bethany are watching. All right. So anyway, I want to thank you all for watching tonight. And feel free to share on your Facebook the lessons and the videos on your Facebook. You never know who will be reached with the gospel by watching the videos. So let's begin reading the text tonight, and it's going to be verses 1 through 10. And the title of tonight's study is entitled, No Substitute for the Gospel. No Substitute for the Gospel. So let me read, follow along with me if you will, verses 1 through 10. It says, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me to the churches of Galatia. A grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished, for I am surprised, that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So let me kind of give you a summary of tonight's study, and then we'll get into the outline. The Galatian church had been infiltrated by there's no other way to describe them but a group of legalists. This group of legalists taught that in order to be saved, Gentiles must only believe on Christ, but they also must keep the law of Moses, and particularly the act of circumcision. So Paul emphasizes here in this letter that was written to the church of Galatia, he emphasizes that the good news that Christ died to deliver us from our sins, provide salvation, provide eternal life, is a gift from God and is not of works. Paul is urging the Galatian church, the Galatian believers, to reject any gospel that denies that salvation is by grace. So let me give you three questions that I want you to think about tonight before we actually get into the outline. The first thing is this, and maybe you can write them down, and maybe on your handout that I emailed to you. And the three questions are this. Maybe you can write them down. Maybe you can discuss them as a family later. But the first question I want to ask you is this. How would you define the gospel? So if someone was to ask you, what is the gospel? How would you answer it? How do you define it? What is the gospel? What would you say to anyone who tries to twist the gospel? What additions to the gospel have you heard about? Let me give you a couple of examples. There is the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ adds baptism to salvation. They believe that salvation, yes, salvation is by grace, but in order to complete salvation, you must be scripturally baptized. Then your salvation is complete. We have those in the charismatic circles that believe that salvation is a process, that you are saved, then later you are sanctified, then later you are slain in the Spirit, which results in the speaking of tongues, then salvation is complete. Well, we believe that the Bible simply says this, that when you repent and believe the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, he was raised from the dead, then you are saved. That salvation is not a process. Sanctification is a process, but salvation is not a process. So Galatians begins with a very strict warning about those who try to tweak or add to the the gospel. And his warning that he gives in this letter to Galatia, it should deepen our loyalty. It should deepen what we believe in regard to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. So the first thing that I want us to look at tonight is this. Number one is Paul established his authority. Paul established his authority. Now, religious people all throughout history have invented all sorts of ways to try to please God apart from trusting in Christ as Savior. But the Bible is crystal clear. And that is that there is only one road that leads to heaven, and that is what Christ said when he said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man can cometh unto the Father but by me." So this leads to another question, and that is, why do so many people refuse to come to God through Jesus Christ for salvation? It boils down to one word, and that is pride. They want to be able to say that I got to heaven on my way, not God's way. So we see in verses 1 through 5, we see that Paul is establishing his authority. So let's go back once again to verses 1 through 5. It says, "Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia." Now I want you to note two very key words here in verse 3, the word grace and the word peace. He says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." So it appears here that the book of Galatians was written by Paul, possibly in a hurry, but I believe that he wrote it in a way that was confrontational. The Apostle Paul never ran away from confrontational things when it came especially to the gospel. If he saw, if he heard that the gospel was being twisted in any way other than what is scriptural, he would come after it and he would confront it. So Paul wrote the letter by his own hand, as we see at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 11, which means he took this letter to be very, very important. If you read all of the other letters that he wrote, he always began with a compliment. He does not begin with a compliment with the book of Galatians. So I want you to look here, as Pastor Ken kind of brings up a slide here of the area of the first century of Asia Minor. If you will look there at the different locations of all the locations, we have Smyrna, Ephesus, Colossae, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, Tarsus, which is where the hometown of Paul. We have Antioch, we have Syria. Well, Galatia was a very prominent and very popular area for people to live in. In Acts chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas founded the churches in Galatia. Later, Paul returned to the region with Silas to strengthen and encourage the believers there in Galatia in Acts chapter 16, 1 through 8. He could not ignore the report that he was hearing, that the gospel was being distorted, that there was a spread of legalism throughout the church of Galatia that would, if not stopped, it would destroy the church, especially if he failed to oppose it. So he had a choice. The choice was either to confront it or to let it go. Well, him being the Apostle Paul and being the person that he felt that he was called to be, he had no choice but to confront it. So let's look at the first letter A underneath point number one, and that is his personal credentials. His personal credentials. There was a group of false teachers that had slowly infiltrated into the Galatian churches, and let me give you that name. They are called the Judaizers. The Judaizers advocated living the Christian life, but they had to do it by the Old Testament law. They rejected Paul's message about salvation by grace through faith in Christ. Now, how did they do that? They tried to undermine the authority of Paul by saying that he was not an apostle. Now, the word apostle simply means this. It means a sent one, or one that was sent by Christ. Now, let me give you the qualifications of an apostle. We have people today that claim to be an apostle. Well, they cannot be an apostle, because an apostle must be, first, one of Jesus' original disciples, or he must have seen the risen Christ, and he must have received a commission from Christ. Well, the 12 disciples, except obviously for Judas Iscariot, became the apostles. Now, after Judas Iscariot had committed suicide, the disciples, or the remaining 11, had got together in Acts chapter 1, verses 20 through 26, and decided on Matthias to become the replacement for Judas. So, what the opponents of Paul were saying this: you were not there when Jesus was here on earth in his earthly ministry, so that makes you not qualified to be an apostle. He is saying that the original group of the apostles had not appointed Paul. So they were saying that Paul was a fake apostle with a false message. Paul had to confront that, where he says in verse 1, Paul, an apostle. Paul, an apostle. It would be like me writing a letter to someone in reference to asking if I am the pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church by me saying, to whom it may concern, Dwayne Smith, the pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church. So Paul here is having to defend himself. So he says in Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle. Now, what qualified him to be an apostle? Well, there were three there, remember? I gave you that you had to be one of the original 12, seen the risen Savior, received a commission from Christ. Well, in Acts chapter 9, Christ appears to Paul. It was Saul at that time. But he appears to him and specially called him to be an apostle. Paul could now speak with authority as an apostle of Jesus Christ. So those who rejected Paul's God-given message was also rejecting God. So we see his personal credentials. Now let's look at letter B, and that is his powerful message. His powerful message. I only ask you in verses 3 through 5 to look at two very key words. The first word is grace, and the second word is peace. The gospel declares salvation by grace. And then he uses the word peace. Now, why the word grace? Because he was writing here to a Greek-speaking people that typically used the word grace when they began a letter or were meeting up with a friend. But then there's the word peace. That was the customary greeting in the Hebrew language. But also, it goes on to a deeper meaning in the New Testament, because grace refers to God's free, undeserved kindness to sinners. It points especially to salvation that is found through the finished work of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you this question for you to think about. And that is, what is the significance that we see here in the fact that grace precedes the word peace? Because we can submit here that you can only achieve or gain true peace of knowing that your sins have been paid for, that you are forgiven, that you do have eternal life, that you do have a home in heaven, and that is because you first experienced God's grace. The word peace also identifies a state of wholeness, a restored relationship. See, before you become a believer, there is that thing called sin that is between you and a holy God. But then when you come to God through the finished work of Christ, that relationship is established, it's restored. Now I want you to also note another key word in verse 4, and that is the word gave. He gave. So here's the key word that I want you, if you're in the habit of underlining or circling words in your Bible, who gave himself for our sins to do what? Deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So there are three facts that we see here in verse 4. Number one, Christ gave himself for our sins. Christ gave himself on the cross as our substitute. So if salvation can be attained by works, then why would Jesus need to go to the cross? Because our sin debt had to be paid for. Secondly, Paul stated that the purpose of Christ's substitutionary death on the cross was to deliver us from this present and evil age, or we can say evil world, as we see in verse 4. Because what the evil world does is it covers our mind and keeps humans in spiritual darkness. It exercises control over their lives in this present world. But believers, when a person trusts the finished work of Christ, they no longer live underneath the domination of sin. They no longer live underneath the penalty of sin as they did before salvation. And Christ has now rescued the believer from underneath the spiritual bondage. And then the third thing that we see, and that is that the deliverance was done according to the will of God and our Father. Paul did not invent this. God invented it. It was God's purpose from eternity past, before the world was created, to save the sinner. Paul exclaims this in verse 5 where he says, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Now, I want you to keep your finger in Galatians chapter 1, and I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 8 and 9. And if you do not know these verses by heart or by memory, let me encourage you to memorize these verses. Verse 8. It says, for by grace, there we have that word again, grace, you have been saved through faith. Now I want you to note, it leaves something out. It does not say, for by grace and works, you have been saved through faith and works. No, it simply says, for by grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Now, let me ask you this question. I've used this illustration many, many times. How do you think heaven would be if we got to heaven or we gained eternal life because of our works? Heaven would be a place of sin. Heaven would be a place of jealousy. It would be a place of envy. It would be a place of arguing. But we all come to salvation by the only way, and that is through the finished work of Jesus Christ. So how should we respond to the fact that God saves sinners entirely by His grace, and that is simply this: give Him the glory. Give Him the credit. Give Him the praise for your salvation. So who would get, if it was based on works, who would get all the glory in heaven? We would. But God made it to where He would get all the glory. He will get all the credit. He will get all the praise for our salvation. So now let's go to Roman numeral number 2. We're going to talk about verses 6 through 9 now in depth. And that is that Paul exercised his authority. He exercised his authority. So I kind of touched on this just a few moments ago. But Paul always began his letters by complimenting. He even the church of Corinth, as bad as they were, he called them saints. He told them how he loved them. He complimented them. But that's not how it begins Galatians. In Galatians, he begins with confrontation and he begins with criticism. Now, why did he do that? Because he loved the Galatian church. He had a deep love. He had a sincere love, as we see in Galatians chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, where it says that, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you, I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. Let me ask you this question. When you see someone that you love, such as a parent and a child, or a spouse, or someone that you have a lot of respect for, and you see them doing wrong, how do you love them? Do you ignore it, or do you confront? Well, if you love them, you'll confront them. So Paul loves the people of Galatia, and he confronts them. He confronts them because he is concerned. He is concerned for their spiritual well-being. He's talking to them about their spiritual failure. So let's look at verses 6 and 7. It says, I am astonished, I am surprised, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. So the first thing is letter A, and that is they called the new gospel perverted. They called the new gospel, or he called the new gospel perverted. He held the Galatians responsible for doing this. They abandoned the gospel. The Galatian believers had turned to a totally different kind of gospel, that salvation was taught by works instead of grace. Now, what are some practical ramifications that we see of people trying to earn God's grace for salvation? Well, here's some ramifications. The first thing is this. Their faith is performance-based, performance-focused. They compare themselves to others. They give up trying to be good and resign themselves to being failures. And sadly, those types of people just simply don't get saved. So in verse 7, Paul says that there is not another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Now, what are some things that have contaminated the gospel? Infant baptism, baptismal regeneration by keeping the Mosaic law, by church membership. Well, I must be a Christian because I'm a member of a church. I must be a Christian because I've been baptized, or I've been baptized again. I keep the Mosaic law. Now, water is good for you. We've been told by doctors you need to drink 8 to 10 8-ounce glasses of water a day. Water is good for you. You need to drink it. But now, what happens, though, if you put a little bit of bleach in it, or a little bit of poison in it, just a drop, not a lot, but just a drop, what would that do to you? Well, it could harm you. It could even kill you. I've been told that rat poison is 98% cornmeal and 2% poison. It's not the cornmeal that kills the rat. It's the 2% poison that kills the rat. See, salvation is not 98% grace and 2% works. It's not 99% grace and 1% works. It is 100% grace. And then we see another thing in verses 8 and 9. See, when teachers pervert the gospel, they disrupt the church. False teachers in Galatia were turning the gospel of Christ perverted. We could say it was being turned upside down. It was a fraudulent gospel. It was a fake gospel. So Paul says that the new gospels should be prohibited. This should be prohibited. Now let's look at verse 8. Now the Apostle Paul uses some very, very strong words here. But he says, but even if we, now he puts himself in that category. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary or against or as opposite to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. That word accursed means this. It means damned. It means their soul is damned for hell. And then it goes on to say, in verse 9, some more stronger terms. We'll look at that in just a moment. He uses the stronger terms. He says, let him, her, them be accursed or set aside for destruction. The accursed person would come underneath the judgment of God. And so the Judaizers' teaching contradicted the gospel of grace. And it was bringing unto them God's punishment. So in verse 9 we see, once again, that he says, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you receive, let him be accursed. So why might people invent new gospels? Well, they want to fit their misunderstanding of Scripture. They want to make the gospel more easily to accept. You don't have to confront that you have sin in your life that you need to repent from. It could be used to manipulate, to gain power or control over people, to gain financially, to gain fame. But then we also see in verse 10. We see in verse 10, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant or a slave, a doulos of Christ. So we see that it is communicated the gospel preacher's purchase. His purpose. Now, Paul is asking the question, who am I trying to please? Who am I trying to please? See, there's only two alternatives. You could either seek to please God or seek to please man. Paul goes on to say, if I were seeking to please man, then why am I doing this? If I just wanted to get along with others, why am I being so confrontational with this letter? See, the Judaizers were messengers of a different gospel. They changed God's truth to a lie in order to please people. They did not serve the Lord. They served their own interest. You know, we see it today. We see it in topical preaching where a preacher will take a topic and then he will take Scripture And they will distort the Scripture to fit their topic. Then there's the prosperity gospel. And that is that if you believe Jesus, you will be healthy and wealthy, and God never wants you to suffer. He will never allow suffering in your life. And if you do suffer, then you must not be a real Christian. Well, let me say this. Suffering will prove that you are a Christian. I have seen it. I have seen people that profess to be Christians, and then when trouble came into their life, financial reversal, loss of a business, loss of their health, loss of a family member, loss of a marriage, loss of a child, they went away from Christ. They went away from church. They went away from the gospel, which means this: they did not truly believe the gospel. So the Galatian believers had continued to follow this type of teaching and this type of preaching. What would have happened to their sanctification? What would have happened to their spiritual growth? Well, they would have no spiritual growth because they would be anemic. The spread of the true gospel would have stopped. The church would have turned into a club with people competing to be in leadership. So Paul warns the Galatians not to dilute the gospel, not to make it appealing to people, not to try to improve the gospel. We do not need to try to improve the gospel. Why? Because God is perfect. He is perfect. His message is perfect. His word is perfect because it originated with God. It points sinners to Christ. It magnifies, it makes big the peace of God, the grace of God, and it causes Christians to glorify God. So I asked you a question at the very beginning. So how would you define the gospel? How would you share the gospel? What are the necessary components to include in sharing the gospel? Well, I'm going to break them down for you. First thing, everyone is sinners. All are sinners. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. God demands a payment for sin. For the wages of sin, price of sin is death. No one can save him or herself. You must believe that God is the Creator God, that Jesus is fully God and fully man, that the death of Christ satisfied God's demand and wrath, that Christ rose from the dead. He was victorious over sin, victorious over death, and that salvation is freely offered to everyone that will repent and believe the gospel. So, I want you to write on your handout, maybe write in your Bible, there in the margin of your Bible. Answer this question. I am grateful for the gospel because. Could it be because I was a sinner? I was away from Christ. I could not get to heaven on my own. But I am grateful for the gospel because. Now, what are some things that we need have, or how can we defend the gospel? I'm going to give you some areas here of how you can defend the gospel. The first thing is this. You need to call pastors who take an uncompromising stand on the gospel. If you go to a church and the pastor cannot explain to you the gospel, then you need to go to another church. Or if you're a member of a church and that pastor does not stand for the gospel, you need to find you another pastor. Secondly, choose theologically in your Sunday school programs, your children's programs, Choose curriculum that is theologically sound. In our Sunday school here, we use Regular Baptist Press. We also use, from Grace Community, we use Grace Kids. We use our Awana on Wednesday nights with our teenagers and with our children because they are theologically sound. Thirdly, require potential members to share their salvation testimony. Require potential members to share their salvation testimony. In other words, if a person presents themselves for membership, but they cannot give a time of when they trusted Christ and cannot give you a clear presentation of the gospel, then they do not need to become a member of your church. Why? Because they could infiltrate within your church and cause issues. How would you like to have a business meeting at a church of unconverted people? They're bad enough when you have sometimes, maybe bad enough when you have converted people. So how would you like to have a business meeting with unconverted people? Next thing is this, preach the gospel regularly. Preach the gospel regularly. We try to do that here. I never assume that everyone that is watching, listening, that is here, is born again. R.A. Torrey said this, and this is back in the day, in the late part of the 19th century, going through the early part of the 20th century, that when the people knew the gospel and churches were in much better shape than they are today, he believed that 80% of people that professed to know Christ as Savior were not truly born again. So preach the gospel regularly. Next, support gospel-believing missionaries. Before we take on a missionary here at Lighthouse Baptist Church, they have to fill out a questionnaire, a very lengthy questionnaire. We ask them some very pointed questions. What do you believe about the gospel? What do you believe about this? What do you believe about that? They have to write out their salvation testimony. Their spouse has to write out their salvation testimony. Next, to train members how to share the gospel. We try to do that here at Lighthouse Baptist Church, and we train people of how to share the gospel. And then lastly, we address current variations of or attacks on the gospel in evangelicalism. We point out those that do preach and teach a false gospel. So how do we live by faith? How do we live by faith? The first application that we can learn from this, and that is appreciate, defend, and share the gospel. Appreciate, defend, and share the gospel. Well, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Hope this is an encouragement to you. And I hope that you learned a lot tonight. And we'll continue to go along the same path throughout the study of the book of Galatians. So this upcoming Sunday, we'll get back to our regular schedule of Sunday school at 10, morning worship at 11, and then our Sunday evening Bible study this upcoming Sunday night at 6. We're going to get back to, we'll be finishing up our study of Jeremiah and Lamentations in Sunday school. We're going to be looking at just one verse this upcoming Sunday morning, and that is Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. We're going to be talking about the role of the believer in sanctification. What is your role as a believer in sanctification? And then Sunday night, we're going to look at Abraham and how he deceived again. How he deceived again. You would think that he learned his lesson the first time, but he does it again. So we'll look at that Sunday night. Well, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father God, thank you for this study. We thank you for the gospel that is found through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that your word is true, that it is dependable. We thank you for it. Now dismiss us with thy blessing. And as we go throughout the rest of this week, may your name be praised and honored and glorified through our lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. All right, I did see several names of several people that tuned in tonight. And I'm sorry if I left you out, but I did see one of my old bosses, Buddy White, tuned in tonight. Buddy, hello. Thank you for tuning in. And I appreciate that and so many others. Some that I did not recognize. So I hope that tonight's lesson was a blessing to you. Well, God bless you, and we'll see you back this upcoming Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. It was showing up on my phone, all the slides and everything. So everything was good.
I think maybe I pulled my copy of this. Did you add someone before you sent it to me?
Uh-uh.
Okay, so there, you didn't have any other points under
it? Yeah, there were. There was like six. There was 8 points on this slide right here. Yeah. Well, go back to the previous. Go back to this one. Okay. All right. Yeah. Oh, it just stopped at that first point? Huh.
There are boxes there.
Yeah. Yeah, they were all there. Yeah.